Members may indicate their presence by voting.
There are 18 members present.
Senator Curtillo.
Mr. President, Representative Chance on this hill.
Senator Coletta.
Mr. President, Senator Miller is also ill.
Without objection, then, Senator Chance and Senator Miller will be shown as excused to the only.
Prayer by the chaplain.
Most gracious God, our Father, facing the activities and the opportunities of another week, may we be eager and receptive for your guidance. Keep us ever alert to the need for change and open as channels for your divine power. Help us to keep keen the edges of our minds, keep our thinking straight and true. Direct us to the doing of your will, that our land may prosper. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Certification of the journal.
I wish to certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 54th, 55th, and 56th legislative days.
Senator Curtillo.
Mr. President, if there are no additions or corrections, I move mass unanimous consent that the journal be approved as read.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent for the certification of the journal. Without objection, the journal is certified. Introduction of guests. Senator Curtillo.
Mr. President, galleries, I believe on both sides there are a number of high school students from the Alaska Association of School Governments. Mr. President, not very long ago I noted the adoption of a number of student rights regulations, and these people and their predecessors have done a great deal to assure the fact that schools are for students, not just for school teachers or the administrators. In the gallery today, it's my great pleasure to introduce, and the gentleman that wrote these down is undoubtedly a candidate for medical school because his writing is about like mine. Matilda Landlord of Mountain Village. Would they please stand? We could all applaud them at one time when they're all standing. Matilda Landlord, Mountain Village. Eula James from Oblackenga. Paula Charles from Ammonic. Bob Crowder from Anderson. Billy Cleaver from Ruby. Barb Comfort from Ben Ileson, Jamie Jones from Valdez, Ellen Doyle East, Thomas Pitka, Bartlett High School, Larry Cooper East Anchorage, David Berry East Anchorage. This is Barbara Willett, who is from Ben Ileson High School, Christy Scott East Anchorage, Jamie Halloway East Anchorage, Sabrina Good Ben Ileson, Clyde Hendricks from East Anchorage, Bob Morant, Juno, and Carolyn Shonite from Ben Ileson. Would they please all stand?
Further introductions? Messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor.
Messages from the House?
Message of March 5th. The House respectfully invites the Senate to meet in joint session on the following dates: March 11 at 11 a.m. for the purpose of allowing a presentation by the Capitol Site Selection Committee. March 15th at 11 a.m. for the purpose of hearing U.S. Senator Ted Stevens. March 26 at 11 a.m. for the purpose of hearing U.S. Senator Mike Gravel.
Senator Curtillo.
President, move to ask unanimous consent that the Senate send the House an acceptance letter.
Senator Curtillo moves and asks unanimous consent that the Senate accept the House invitation to meet in joint session on March 11th to hear a presentation by the Capitol Site Selection Committee, on March 15th to hear an address by Honorable Ted Stevens, and on March 26th to hear a joint address by Senator Mike Gravel. Is there objection? Senator Ray? Senator Stanley. Senate will come to order. Is there objection? Without objection, the Secretary will send the House a message accepting their invitation. Further messages from the House?
Message of March 5. The House has passed the following: Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 86, Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 87. These have been sent to enrolling. The House has passed the following, and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution Number 10, Rules, by the Rules Committee, amending the inherent rights section of the Constitution of the State of Alaska.
Resources.
Sponsor substitute for House Bill Number 399 by Representatives Eliason, H. Byrne, Duncan, Hershberger, Naughton, Ostrowski, Parker, Rhodes, Smith, and Sullivan, entitled An Act Creating the School Activities Association within the Department of Education and Providing for an Effective Date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 522, Judiciary Amended, by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to the regulation of lobbying and providing for an effective date.
Commerce.
House Bill Number 723 by Representative Parker, an act relating to the residential homestead exemption.
Judiciary.
There are no further messages from the House.
Communications.
We have a letter dated March 4 from the Capitol Site Selection Committee. Dear Senator Croft, the Capitol Site Selection Committee requests that it be allowed to present its findings on the Capitol sites to a joint session of the Alaska State Legislature on Thursday, March 11. The purpose of the presentation is to review for the legislature the physical and economic data on each of the three sites, as well as present a series of recommendations on the issues involved in master planning once the site is selected. We look forward to your reply. Very truly yours for the committee, Leonard D. Lane, Executive Director. We have another letter dated March 5 from the Commissioner, Department of Commerce and Economic Development. Dear Mr. President, March 9 is the 200th anniversary of the publication of the, quote, Wealth of Nations by Adam Smith. The most notable feature of the teachings of the Wealth of Nations was that, quote, man's self-interest is God's providence, and held that if government abstained from interfering with free competition, industrial problems would work themselves out and the practical maximum of efficiency would be reached. In short, Smith's Wealth of Nations brought together for the first time all the principles of political economy that embodied the spirit of free enterprise and free competition. The Department of Commerce and Economic Development takes great pride in inviting you to participate in the festivities celebrating this significant event. The party will be held on the ninth floor of the State Office Building on Tuesday, March 9 at 4:30 p.m. The program includes the unveiling of the mysterious new Adam Smith and the presentation of bills tuned to the 1776 time frame to the Speaker of the House and the President of the Senate for their consideration. The governor will be presented with an appropriate proclamation. As the focal point of your program involves yourself, we would be honored by your presence. Please convey to your colleagues our invitation for them to participate also. Refreshments will be served. In the bicentennial spirit of rededication to the principles of the American democracy, republic, read it any way you want, this is nonpartisan, we felt it most appropriate to celebrate this occasion and look forward to your personal participation. Sincerely yours, Langhorne A. Motley, Commissioner.
Senator Katula.
Mr. President, it's almost too much. As my enlightened and educated young friends of the right noted that Adam Smith and the Wealth of Nations suggested a great deal of monopoly and not too much free enterprise, he couldn't understand how he could come to the conclusion that he's come to.
Further communications?
There are no other communications.
Reports of standing committees?
Finance Committee has had Senate Bill 674 relating to the Cook Inlet Land Exchange under consideration and reports it back as follows. Senator Ray Chairman and Senators Rader and Poland signed no recommendation. Senators Butrovich, Sackett, and Ferguson signed do pass. There's no further referral.
Rule.
The Labor and Management Committee considered House Concurrent Resolution 92. Feasibility study of establishing state workman's compensation insurance fund, and the committee recommends it do pass with an amendment. The report is signed by Senator Willis, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Rohde and Bradley. There's no further referral.
Rules.
The State Affairs Committee considered Senate Concurrent Resolution 62, annulling administrative regulations establishing periodic motor vehicle inspection program. And the committee recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, and the committee substitute do pass. The report is signed by Senator Huber, Chairman, concurred in by Senators Meeland, Ferguson, and Coletta. There's no further referral.
Rules.
I have no further committee reports.
Reports of standing committees. I mean of special committees.
There are no special committee reports.
Introduction of resolutions.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 49 by the Labor and Management Committee, requesting the United States Forest Service and the United States Occupational Safety and Health Administration to promulgate uniform regulations for timber cutting operations.
Resources.
That is the only resolution.
Introduction of Senate, I'm sorry, Senator Huber. Senate Standard 8. Senate come to order. It's a little high. Introduction of Senate bills.
Senate Bill Number 693 by the State Affairs Committee, entitled An Act Relating to the Personal Possession of Weapons.
State Affairs Judiciary.
Senate Bill Number 694 by the Rules Committee by request, an act making a special appropriation to the Office of the Governor for the Capitol Site Selection Committee and providing for an effective date.
Finance.
Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill Number 658 by Senator Croft, an act establishing the Alaska Community Colleges and providing for an effective date.
Health, Education, Social Services, Finance.
There are no other bills.
Brings us down to consideration of the daily calendar. Have before us Senate Concurrent Resolution 66.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 66 by the Resources Committee, entitled, or rather, relating to North Slope Natural Gas. The Resources Committee had this resolution, and the committee recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute, and that the committee substitute do pass. The report was signed by Senator Poland, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Meeland, Croft, Rohde, Buttrovich, and Orsini, and Rader. There is a committee substitute on my desk, Mr. President.
Senator Poland.
Mr. President, I move the
adoption. Senator Poland moves the adoption of the committee substitute. You have the floor, Senator Poland.
We only made a few minor changes from the original bill, but we do feel that it is important that the committee substitute be included in the third whereas to change it from provincial use to intrastate use.
Senator Poland asked unanimous consent for the adoption of the Resources Committee substitute. Is there objection? Without objection, the committee substitute's adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 66 by the Resources Committee relating to North Slope Natural Gas.
Are there any amendments?
There are no amendments.
Senator Ray?
Mr. President, I know there's nobody that this goes to, and looking at it, I can see that it says potential producers in our slope, and perhaps I wonder if we should consider maybe having the Department of Natural Resources make available to potential gas producers in the future a copy of this resolution or something, some indication that. Other than that, what does it say? It just resolves, and that's the end of it. And we don't send it to anybody, and that's the end.
Senator Couture.
Perhaps we can send it to Adam Smith.
Senator Rader.
President, I think that they'll get the message, the people that's involved in this. Mr. President, this as does the resolution, Senate Concurrent Resolution 85, which is on today's calendar also, relate to the same subject, so I'm going to discuss both of them with your permission. I think it'll save some time. What we're trying to do in this situation is to enlist the support of the oil companies in getting a Trans-Alaska gas line instead of a Canadian gas line. We're used to thinking in terms of the oil pipeline, where we had control of state lands, and we had a considerable ability to influence, if perhaps not actually determine precisely, the method by which gas or oil was taken from the state. However, in a gas situation, a federal statutes provide that any gas line certified by the Federal Power Commission has the right of condemnation, and that includes the taking of state lands. The which means that that we cannot even prevent the passage of a pipeline across non-state lands after one of the pipelines is certified. That pipeline, that private company, will have the right to condemn state properties. Additionally, once the gas gets into a line, and once you have consumers downstream relying on it, like consumers in Ohio or California or someplace else in the utility business, you won't be able to discontinue supplying the gas. Of course, we can discontinue supplying oil anytime we want to after the pipeline is in production. We can decide to take our oil in kind or be paid for it, our royalty oil, and we can do that from time to time as it suits our convenience. The problem with the gas situation is once it gets into an interstate pipeline and flows, we may never be able to get it out. What we're trying to do here with these two resolutions is to get the companies that have made commitments which would tend to favor the Canadian route, that's Midwest commitments, to the extent that their economic and their legal situation permits them, to make future commitments which would tend to favor the Trans-Alaska route. The second resolution directs to the Federal Power Commission what's pretty obvious, and that is that if Alaska needs income, and we will need income in the future, that if the pipeline goes only through Canada, that the only income that Alaska will get off of that pipeline will probably be in the nature of severance tax. Whereas if the pipeline goes Trans-Alaska, there's a good possibility that someplace down the road we'll get into petrochemicals, as well as have a much greater, much broader tax base because of the pipeline and the LNG facilities and the rest of it. We think that should be important to the Federal Power Commission because that would seem to indicate that there might be a difference in the price of gas in the lower 48 depending upon which way it goes and the tax policy of this state. Tomorrow we have an appropriation that will be calendared tomorrow which deals with the same thing, but I believe that what I said today actually covers these two resolutions.
Senator Cotilla.
Mr. President, I think they're laudatory, but I think that at least the rules chairman should see to it that members of the Federal Power Commission do get the resolutions, since they're not directed to by the
Senator Ryder.
Absolutely, Mr. Chairman. I don't think there's any problem at all in getting the things today.
Further discussion? Ready to vote? Question is, shall Senate concurrent resolution 66 pass the Senate? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
As many as opposed, no. The ayes have it. Concurrent resolution 66 has passed the Senate. I have before us Senate concurrent resolution 77.
Senate concurrent resolution number 77 by the Commerce Committee relating to the establishment of a comprehensive and meaningful agricultural policy for the state of Alaska. The Commerce Committee had this resolution under consideration and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Cotulla, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Willis, Bradley, Coletta, and Ziegler. I have no amendments.
Right. Senate, stand at ease. Senator, come to order. Are there any amendments?
Amendment number one by Senators Ray and Cotulla, page 3, line 10, add. Copy of this resolution to Wayne Hunter, the Alaska farmer.
Senator Ray?
Well, Mr. President, I'm sorry to take up the time here, and I apologize. I see I have the wrong resolution, so I would withdraw.
Amendment number one is withdrawn. Are there further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
Is there any discussion? You ready to vote? The question is, shall Senate concurrent resolution number 77 pass the Senate? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
As many as opposed, no. The ayes have it. Concurrent resolution 77 has passed the Senate. We have before us Senate concurrent resolution 85.
Senate concurrent resolution number 85 by the Resources Committee relating to the impact on Alaska of a trans-Canada gas transportation system. The Resources Committee had this resolution under consideration, and the committee recommends it be replaced with the committee substitute, and that the committee substitute do pass. The report was signed by Senator Poland, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Meland, Croft, Rader, Buttrevich, Rohde, and Orsini. I have a committee substitute on my desk, Mr. President.
Senator Poland? Senator Poland moves the adoption of the committee substitute. You have the floor, Senator Poland.
The only change in the committee substitute from the original resolution was the elimination of the first whereas clause. We felt that this might be misleading, and as much as this legislature can find future legislatures, we eliminated that clause. Otherwise, the resolution is the same. Now, we can ask for them.
Senator Poland asks unanimous consent for the adoption of the committee substitute. Is there objection? Without objection, the committee substitute's adopted.
Committee substitute for Senate concurrent resolution number 85 by the Resources Committee relating to the impact on Alaska of a trans-Canada gas transportation system.
Are there any amendments?
There are no amendments.
Any discussion?
Question.
Ready to vote. The question is, shall Senate concur in the resolution? The question is, shall Senate concurrent resolution 85 pass the Senate? As many as favor, say aye.
Aye.
As many as opposed, no. The ayes have it. Concurrent resolution 85 has passed the Senate. We have before us in the second reading Senate Bill 495.
Senate Bill number 495 of the Rules Committee by request of the Governor, an act relating to Alaska National Guard pay and the Alaska Employment Security Act. The Labor and Management Committee had this bill under consideration, and the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Senator Willis, Chairman, and concurred in by Senators Rohde and Bradley. There are no amendments.
Senator Cotilla.
Present, absence of any amendments, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 495 be considered in gross advance third reading, placed in final passage.
Senator Cotilla moves and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 495 be advanced from second to third reading, placed for you on final passage. Without objection, we have before us in third reading Senate Bill 495.
Senate Bill number 495, an act relating to Alaska National Guard pay and the Alaska Employment Security Act.
Senator Willis.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 495 excludes inactive duty service required of National Guardsmen from the definition of employment under the Alaska Employment Security Act. Guardsmen are presently paid quarterly. As such, they receive a larger than average paycheck, which disqualifies them from unemployment benefits for that particular week. The current law does not address the fact that guardsmen pay is for a 3-month period, and if paid on a weekly basis, would have little effect, if any, on unemployment compensation. This bill is designed to prevent guardsmen from being detrimentally affected because of their voluntary service in the Guard, and under this bill, the guardsman on inactive duty service for which he is paid is not considered employment. Therefore, pay is not counted in determining the benefits under the Employment Security Act. It's estimated that approximately 10% of the guardsmen would fall into this category. Currently, there's about 2,600 guardsmen on active duty. The major effect would be for those guardsmen who do serve in the bush units. I would urge favorable consideration of this bill.
Further discussion? You ready to vote? Question is, shall Senate Bill 495 pass the Senate? Many senators may proceed to vote. Every senator voted. Secretary will lock the roll. Any senator desire to change his vote? Secretary will take the roll.
There are 18 yeas and 2 excused.
Senate Bill 495 has passed the Senate. Senator Ziegler? Without objection, you have the floor. Further introduction? That concludes the daily calendar. Brings us down to unfinished business. Special orders. Announcement of committee meeting. Senator Pollock.
Mr. President, the Senate Resources Committee will meet at 1:30 today, and we now have copies of the Federal State Land Use Planning Commission report on the Cook Inlet Land Trade, which we will be going over and discussing.
Senator Ray.
Mr. President, the Finance Committee will hold public hearings on the public protection category at 2 p.m. this afternoon.
Further, Senator Cotillo.
Mr. President, Commerce will have conflicts if it meets in the next day or so between Iron Management, Hess, and Senate Judiciary. So Commerce, for the attention of the Chairman, will meet Wednesday at 9 a.m., Labor Management tomorrow morning at 9 a.m., Senate Judiciary Tuesday at 1:30 in Room 5. Bills will be posted. And a lot of bills will be coming up today in Senate Hess at 1:30 p.m. Those bills will be posted to and range from Revised Community College Act, retirement credit for military service. If there's no further action to come before this body, Mr. President, I move and ask unanimous consent to adjourn until 10 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Senator Cotillo moves and asks unanimous consent to the Senate standing adjournment until 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. Without objection.